This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Hello and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review Season 2, Week 7. And tonight I'm Rob, with me is John.
Hello.
And Tim.
Hello.
And the tips that were from the week that was. Well, Nico's made out like a bandit with six tips.
That's a perfect score.
That's a perfect score from Nico.
Mm-hmm. That's the first one this season as well, isn't it?
Maybe it was a much more predictable round.
No, it was the first one this season when Crusaders inexplicably went down to somebody or other.
Mm.
But anyway, Katina, myself, and John all came out with five, and Tim, some reason picking the Waratahs, which nobody really did, came out with four. Bad luck.
Well, Timbo. I was thinking that, you know, the Bulls can't play that well 2 weeks
in
a row.
Not their 10,000 less crowd, and part of which started to walk out early when they were being so soundly thrashed.
Oh my God, what a controversy.
Yes,
we'll
it was.
With that.
Yes, it was fun. Anyway.
Waratahs fans always leave early.
What's your first game? Highlanders Reds. Dunedin.
Yep.
Highlanders are sound flogging against the Reds, 33-17.
It's funny, how remember how when the Reds beat the Canes in round one, everyone thought this was going to be the year of the Red, and they were talking about grand final finish for them.
And then they suddenly had 15 injuries. From a squad of 22, that's not real good, which is why I guess they're going back to the schoolboy in the club.
So we've got this is in the Canberra Times on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The Reds are missing Sam Cordingley, 2 to 4 weeks. Shukovsky, 3 weeks. Beric Barnes, 2 weeks. Anthony Matheson, 2 weeks. Stephen Moore, knee, probably a week. Hugh McManaman, ankle, expect to be out for another week. Another ex-Brumby, Henare Veritau, is hit out with a hip.
He's the man who stole a taxi.
He is. James Hall, out for a week with a hip. Andrew Brown, ribs for a week. Caleb Brown, hamstring indefinite. And out for the season, Greg Holmes, Rodney Blake, Ben Coots, Ben Rowan, and Chris Latham.
Mm.
Interestingly, they're actually trying to get Rodney Blake to play again this weekend against the Force.
Blake's saying he wants to play and skip surgery for the Force game. I never think that's a good idea.
Just for a week. They can pump him full of...
The only reason he played this week was because his surgery was scheduled for this week rather than last week. So they can reschedule the surgery.
It seems as if the ARU is going to put the kibosh on that because they want him to be available for the Wallaby season.
Yeah.
And he's playing quite well. He's just a player, you know, he just doesn't have anyone else around him to support the game. So...
I mean, with that kind of injury, I don't imagine his midfield play is going to be quite what it was in patches the last season. But
No. Not only that, let's face it, once you've got that many good players down, you're just going to get more and more injuries because you don't have the team to support players.
You're throwing your cannon fodder onto the enemy machine guns.
I think they're really sort of scraping the barrel with props now. They're going to guys who were previously uncontracted.
Well, if they started going to the club rugby scene instead of the schoolboys scene, they might have a few less injuries as well.
Surprisingly enough, Wade Cooper has played quite well.
I'm not saying the kids aren't talented. I'm just saying that they're putting too many young kids on there, and what they need to start looking at is some older heads from the club competition who have been around and played a lot of rugby, even if they have never quite cut it in the...
I think Jeff Didier is still going around. He might be even...
I don't think the Duke will ever play for anyone with the ACC, mate.
I reckon there'll be some sore heads after that game.
Mm.
Yeah. He's not afraid of a bit of niggle in the back play.
Mm.
Anyway,
no surprises, though?
No. In this game, did anyone tip against the...
No, it was a clean sweep. However, the Reds were competitive for the first half, and then they just got totally away from them.
Mm.
Some controversial tries let through, and others not so much.
Mm.
Anyone see much of the game? I just remember seeing one try out by the Highlanders winger, coming screaming down the sideline. He's rolling left, right, and centre, about a foot short of the line as he puts the ball down and slides over as his backside's going left, right, and his arms and elbows and knees are going every way towards the try line, and they still gave it. So that was very close.
That was a bit. I wouldn't have given that
I wouldn't have given that one either because it wasn't different. You couldn't really tell.
I think until the Reds can field a consistent outfit, you know, week in, week out, they're not going to win any games, which is unfortunate because they started the season with reasonable promise. Mm.
Yes,
Highlanders,
at home.
Highlanders at home. Yeah, reasonably strong team. I'm surprised they scored so many points, but maybe just because of the lack of Reds' defence.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
The next game.
Hooray!
Brumby Stormers. Brumbies won at home. Hooray for that.
And wasn't that deafening silence at the end of the game after they gave away that runaway try spoke volumes of the fans' lack of patience with the Brumbies this season?
Oh, it's funny. It's like when Brown announced, he goes, oh, by the way, we won. Oh, okay, great.
It was a little half-hearted even that shit. I was like, yeah. Brumby's won, not particularly convincingly though.
Well, I just agree with that. I think we saw a glimpse of this, you know, the play they're trying to make last week against the Bulls.
Swinging from side to side.
Get the midfield penetration. They just couldn't get the continuity because there was so much drop ball. This week was significantly better.
Yes.
Held onto the ball. You could see the composure that Rathbone and particularly Morlock brought to their back line.
Mm-hmm.
Was that much better. And I think where the difference between last week and this week is that the defence had to concentrate on Morlock because he's such a powerful runner. And it created spaces for those second line runners to come through, which we didn't see against the Stormers. Second lines of runners coming through, Fairbanks, Adam Ashley Cooper coming through in that second line, picking up a pass off Morlock's shoulder,
yeah,
and being able to get great penetration.
And I think that, Ashley Cooper with his two tries.
Yeah, particularly. And I think that gave the Brumbies just sort of that extra little momentum over the advantage line that they were missing against the Bulls.
Yeah.
Huxley's still out there kicking the ball away.
And not kicking it into touch. Which, if you're going to be kicking it away...
Well, interesting... You know,
team with no chasing game...
Interesting question to see whether, you know, that was part of the strategy to keep it infield or not. But you would think that... I noticed a lot of occasions during the game, because Ashley Cooper was running through through the midfield...
He's been doing some good running all year, actually. He's the only one who's actually attacking from the Brumbies' half... running the ball up and then taking it over the 50.
It did mean that Huxley was dropping back to the fullback position quite a bit. It was almost a rotational play, so he had Fairbanks.
That's what's always
been happening. And, you know, frankly, I didn't think that was such a bad thing for the Brumbies.
Well,
Huxley's got a good kicking game, but it just sort of changes the focus of attack. I do agree with you. I still think he's kicking to me. His way with kicking down isn't.
We should be running the ball up the field. If we're in dire straits, then yeah, go for the sidelines. But
we've got to kick the ball out.
But hand, if you are kicking the ball, it has to go out. If it's not going out, then stop. Or we have trained
for having a chasing game, which we're not doing. I mean, Huxley's the only one doing. But I think even that's dropping off.
It
can't be everywhere.
You can't have one player chasing the ball. The whole team chasing the ball.
Yeah, well, particularly one player is easy to avoid. It just means that the counter attack ends up coming up as 14 men instead of 15. So a single man chasing unit is a pretty poor option.
Those noises you can hear are the battle bots going out of the end of the
dungeon. I think it's drunken hobos with star pickets.
I think the last 2 weeks for the Brumbies has put them in a good position, starting to get some good continuity of play, and I think we'll serve them quite well for the trip to South Africa.
I'm not real sure about that. I think they've still got a lot to build on. I hope they do, and I hope they can come away with 2 wins from three in South Africa, which is what's always considered a great tour.
Who are they playing? Cheetahs this week, and who's the other one?
Sharks the week after.
Oh, Jesus.
We're undefeated Sharks so far, but hopefully Larkin may be back for that game. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I think we'll be lucky to come away with any points out of the South African tour myself.
I'm feeling quite positive about it, actually. I like what I've seen from the Brumbies play.
Okay.
They've had a good foundation in the scrums. You know, and they're starting to get their backline continuity.
Looks like they've started deciding to hold on to the passes and practice their...
they've done some catch and drills.
And a little bit of variation in the play as well.
Well, on the table, they're only 2 points out of the four, so...
Yeah, but that's mostly... been a very rough competition so far. Shall we move on?
Oh, and there's also three teams equal fourth.
Yes.
The Subiaco crowd has finally heard their team song.
They have.
After a season and a half.
When do we ever get the team song after?
They play Spin the Ball. What?
No,
they play that.
Yeah, they played it after the Stormers game.
There you go.
I think they played it after the Bulls game as well, so they're playing
lose. Anyway, yes.
Cameron Shepherd, he must be the talk of the town, the hero of the moment, getting pretty much all their points, and with a last minute try and sideline conversion to win the game for them. After they were
if he gets injured, they're in big trouble.
But all this talk of a Wallabies fullback with Chris Latham out and Adam Ashley Cooper possibly vying for the spot, you can't look past
Cameron Shepherd. Can't be left out of the Wallaby calculations. You'd really want to be penciling him there into the squad now.
Yeah. Oh, he's had six outstanding games to date. And, you know, they've actually combined really well as a team this season, whereas, you know, previously they didn't have it. Ryan Cross in the centres, Nitto as well, you know, playing really, really great rugby. And interesting rugby as well, not like some of the other teams in Australia, you could say, Waratahs, that people don't want to watch.
Yep. Indeed.
I think when Mitchell was appointed as coach of the Force last season,
he was given a 3-year plan, I thought.
Yeah, it is, and it's coming off. So that's good to see. I think it's, you know, there's been some criticism of having the fourth team in terms of the lack of depth, particularly coming from but I think he's taken a relative for the young squad and bonded them together into a really good force.
I wouldn't say really good. I'd say adequate.
Yeah.
Oh, look, playing well. Yeah. Playing well, and all credit to them.
Drew Mitchell had a game where he didn't screw up and thus looked really good. I suspect means he's going to have a real shocker sometime real soon. But, if I know Drew Mitchell, then I think I do. Let's look at the Blues 41, Lions 14 in Auckland. Was there anything unexpected about this game?
Well, it was actually pretty close.
Quite a margin.
Up until, I think, 30 or 20 minute mark. And then the Blues just started running away with it.
Yep.
Unstoppable. The ball was getting passed left, right and centre. And they were just breaking the line. Mm-hmm. They'd one man would break the line, make a gap, get tackled as he's going down. Ball goes out. The other one's going through the line. Simple as that. It's just...
The Blues are playing very creative rugby. We saw them play a couple of years ago when Spencer was running mark and playing so well just before the rugby world.
Spencer and Hallett and Body.
It scares you when you think that the rest of their centre combination is still
like five players to come back.
And they've still got five players to come back. And, you know,
that's just, next round, isn't it?
Yep, round 8.
All the combinations going and depth in their squad. It's really scary. Good luck to them. I'm waiting for round 11 when they play the Sharks. That'll be a great game.
They're humdinger. Yeah.
But where's that going to be?
That's in Auckland.
Ooh. I reckon that'll show
South
up.
South Africans seem to have cracked their touring in general.
The Lions winning two.
The Australian teams are playing so crap.
That helped.
The Storm is winning one. The Bulls winning two now on the trot.
Well, the Waratahs won their, on their only game in South Africa, for God's sake.
Scary.
Home ground advantage hasn't counted for what it used to. Alright, let's go to a song now. And
This would be the Lavins with Part of the Gun. We're not sure which part, but we know it's Part of the Gun.
Yes, and if they find the other part, they'll have a gun.
Part of the the gun, try to blame it all on me. Heart of the gun, try to blame it all on me. Heart of the gun said, should worse come to worse, put your lips to mine, I shall take away all of your pain. She tried to blame it all on me. She tried to blame it all on me. She goes la 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 la. La 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 la. She goes la 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 la.
So that was the Levans with Part of the Gun, and I should mention we're here in lovely All Bar None in O'Connor. Where the drunken hobos come to fight with star pickets.
The battle bots,
battle
we'd say.
Bots, you reckon?
Mm. Battle bots.
Anyway, we think they've finished fighting.
And they fight to the sounds of a bit of techno dub.
We had some rock before.
We did.
But, yes. Anyway, moving on.
That's what we can hear in the background.
Moving on with the week that was. Roshar's 19, Bulls 32 in Sydney. Bulls on a tour where they won for the first time in Canberra and in Sydney.
They must be pretty happy.
Yeah. You know, for a team that notoriously can't travel very well, mm-hmm. and to come away with two wins
in Australia,
where, okay, they probably might have thought themselves lucky to come away from one from two.
Mm. Now let's talk about the worst selection decision in the longest I can remember. Morgan Turinui paired up against Brian Habana.
That was a great move.
That was. We want to see that happen more often. I think it's a great idea.
I mean, one of the fastest guys going around.
And really good at
against one of the slowest centres in the competition.
Okay, it was wrong, and look, it didn't work for them. I mean, it wasn't even a case of, you know, necessarily poor positional play or poor marking by Turinui.
He was just so much slower.
But that was, you know, slower. You know, a number of times via JP Nell. In fact, two of both of Habana's tries, JP Nell with a and Habana a 2-on-3 situation against Norton Knight, Turinui, and whoever the other outside centre is for the Towers at the moment. Kicks through, perfectly weighted, three guys chasing the ball back, and Havana goes, zip, zip, zip. I'm having that, thanks very much, puts the ball down for a try. Twice.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Bulls camp when they saw the Waratahs team sheet and they said, so Turinui, M.
Oh, hell yes.
Up against Havana.
You'd be taking your centres aside and saying, kick the damn ball through.
But they wouldn't be saying, is it real? Surely
it's
not.
A trick. It's his younger brother who's a 100 metre sprinter on roids.
But they would have said, but if it does turn out that he's out there, this is what we're going to do.
Well, there was interesting selections all around, I mean, and it seemed to work for the first 20 minutes. Right? They picked a big back line to try and match up to the Bulls, and that seemed to work. Yeah. Right, for the first 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, but it's classic in rugby. First 20 minutes, you've got the energy, the enthusiasm, then you start getting a little tired.
These guys run around, and the Bulls. Okay, these big bikes, they run around 80 minutes every week.
I'd just like to pass on a little anecdote. The Bulls were staying in the Coogee Bay Crown Plaza during the week, and I have it from sources there that every morning the forwards would come in, grab a great big handful of bacon, and just walk off and eat that as they wandered around. So they must be bacon fueled forwards. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Better than the steroid fueled forwards of the Stormers. So there you go.
But obviously the bright lights of Coogee didn't slow them down.
No.
Actually, something else I noticed about this game, conversely to what we were talking about with the Brumbies kicking the ball away, the Waratahs weren't kicking the ball. They were running it from 9-22, repeatedly running it from 9-22, which is, you know, got to be a questionable tactic.
There is a time and a place for everything, and on your own 22 is one of those where kicking.
Well, they weren't running it from their own, you know, end zone a number of times. And okay, it's okay if you're the Blues, And you've got that, and you've got the pace to do it.
You're playing a game whereby you...
When you pick Morgan Tierney on the wing, you're not going to win your game with 90-metre tries.
No, you want to be kicking it out, playing for field business, and relying on your set piece in midfield defence.
Yeah.
And they're done with it. And it just wasn't working for them. And they were never going to beat the Bulls with a, you know, with a field position kicking game.
Yeah.
Because every time the ball went over the Bulls' line, you know, had their fullback picking it up and just built it back 10 moments.
Well, in that case, you've got to ask how are the Waratahs ever going to win the game?
And what's happened to the Waratahs since last year, when they were a dominant force?
Lottie Tekeri.
Has
anyone heard? Today was the day. Today, close business today.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, there'd still be no decision announced.
By the time this goes out,
I don't mind Tekeri at all. He's just one player on a team.
No, he is. But the whole Tekeri saga has been very detrimental to this.
Yeah, the Sailor saga and the.
I think what the Waratahs are missing. I won't say it's Saga. It's Chris Whittaker.
They're missing
Alcanar. They're missing Dan Vickerman to give them that solid set piece play, knowing that they can kick it out and probably get the ball back.
Yeah.
And they're missing Phil Ward.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of leadership gone from the side. I wouldn't necessarily say so much talent, but a lot of leadership. I'll concede that. But anyway, moving on from that happy news of sad Waratahs fans.
Bad luck team, you tipped them.
All the fans leaving early.
Yeah. They always left early though. Every time I've been there to watch a Brumbies game, it used to astonish me the way they'll start leaving with 10 minutes to go.
But 10,000 down from their last home game. That's pretty significant as well. That's really falling off the bandwagon.
You got to remember.
Last home game was against the Force.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an Australian derby. You're always going to get more players to his triple crowd to an Australian derby.
And you don't know what else was going on in Sydney that night. I would say a one-off bad game for crowd figures, you shouldn't worry about too much. Two in a row, you got a real problem.
So. What else was going on in Sydney? Well, I went to a very nice restaurant called Tetsuya's. Really yummy, very expensive. Uh-huh. Go there, try it. Press your girlfriend. Well,
and did you get a free dim sim for that plug?
That's
very silly.
It's one of the only three hat restaurants in the country.
Yep.
Right.
Doesn't my wallet know that?
Of course it's nice.
No.
Right. Okay. Last up, this was one of the games that was in some doubt last week. Cheetahs 14, Sharks 20 in Bloemfontein.
Ran away with the win, second half
win, 17 unanswered points for the Sharks,
and
they got to be pretty happy.
Yeah,
I think Sharks fans
Yeah, they're the team with the bye that is still in second place because nobody else is then undefeated. Got to be happy with that. And they've even got they don't actually have any bonus points. Sorry, I thought they did. I was looking at the wrong line. No bonus points yet.
That's why undefeated second place midway through the season, you'd be pretty happy with that.
Well, I reckon they would be.
Yeah.
Okay, they've played a lot of games at home, but the Sharks have always travelled reasonably well.
Yeah.
So, I think they'd be pretty happy.
That's a pretty strong base to start from.
What are they, 5 points clear, or 3 points clear for next...
Yeah, well,
Auckland
and the Sharks are playing at a whole different level to the rest of the competition.
Yes.
There's a long way to go still in this season.
Some of the tries that are scored, just easy ones. Complacent opposition, we don't know, but they've been there to capitalise.
Anyway, let's go to a song. This will be the Lavins. It's a horse. Horse is called.
There's
my heart feels cold today. Tripping on time, I want you. Tripping on time, I need you so. I need you like a metaphor. You're in my veins, I can feel it. You're in my brain, I can feel it high. But now I'm all alone, yeah. There's some things in this life that you're gonna grow into. You're better off alone. There's some things in this life that you're gonna hold on to. You're better off alone. Na 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 na, wash my face in the sea. And take your necklace home with me. Ooh, I bury my head in the sand. Hold the horse in my left hand, yeah. Wash my face in the sea. I take your necklace home with me. Come on. Ooh, I bury my head in the sand. Hold the horse in my left hand. Yeah.
And we're back, and that was the Lavins with Horse. Now,
the beer this week.
The beer for this week is Stella Artois on tap. Stella Artois, it's Belgian for Foster's. What do we think, guys?
It's a draft. It's cold and it's beery.
It's beery, that's a technical description for well beer.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's well balanced. I mean, that's why it's an international best-selling beer. It's inoffensive. It's not too hopped, which is the classic mistake that new players make, is, hey, let's just jam more hops in there. That'll make it taste classy.
Oh, it's an easy drinking beer. What was it worth a schooner?
Oh, I didn't keep track, sorry.
It's not.
You can walk into any bar anywhere in the world and order a Stella with confidence.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I don't recall seeing Stella on tap in that many places a couple of years ago. So
no, not in Australia.
Their marketing has been obviously
Everything stepped up with Heineken muscling its way into the Australian market, and all the other foreign beers have followed suit.
Now, the last 10 years there's been so much more international beer in the Australian market, and that's only good.
It's just them figuring out the deals with the overseas company and getting Australian beers into overseas production lines.
Yeah.
This beer's probably made in Australia. It's just shipped.
When we say made in Australia, we're talking about an enormous factory where they've got a series of settings that they twiddle the knobs to.
It's really Foster's.
Yeah.
It's just in a different can.
Different can, but there will have been a slightly different flavour.
I've got to say, it tastes far better than Foster's, because Foster's tastes like piss.
And so, two beer reviews for the price of one podcast.
Well, three, because I've been...
I challenge any Australian who's actually tried Foster's in the last 10 years to say otherwise.
There's the Foster's Ice, which gave away $1 million last year, and they've just resolved the court actions around that, because the only people who entered were beer wholesalers who clipped the coupons out of their own cases.
Good on them. God bless their cotton socks.
Oh, yeah, I drink it. I think my wife would drink it as well. Yeah. She doesn't drink a lot of beer.
Now,
general discussion.
The Greek and Larkham stand in the ACT. What do we think, boys?
The Larkham Greek and stand.
I think.
For those who don't know, is that Brumbies Rugby have put a proposal to the ACT government saying, "Hey, you've already got the Melbourne Inga stand. What about this other little one over here? Do you want to call it the Greek and Larkham stand?"
Well, these blokes, because they're kind of important.
And nothing's been confirmed, but they're thinking about it, supposedly.
I think it is a stupid idea and an insult to both Steve Larkham and George Greegan to package it this way. I think having the big stand in the stadium called the Mal Meninga stand, the legendary and enormous rugby league player, there would be a certain degree of poetry in having the smaller stand on the other side of the ground being the George Greegan stand.
Well, Ben Larkham being bigger than Mal Meninga, or taller than Mal Meninga.
Not that much taller than Mal Meninga.
We could call it the Larkham stand and George can open the cafe then.
Yeah, let's give George the cafe concession, he'll snap at that. I think making it a joint thing, I think then degrades the contribution of so many other Brumbies, who particularly Joe Roth, Jeremy
but
Paul.
But they are the only the only two inaugural Brumbies still going?
They're the last two original Brumbies still going.
Supposedly they actually had an inaugural Brumbies meeting out at Murrum Bateman on the weekend. I wonder how that went.
Do you think Coach Fisher's ears were burning while it was going on? I think it's a really stupid idea, typical of modern Brumbies management. Yes.
We think we'd rather probably see Gregan stand with a Larkham statue
on the eastern side, which is where I go in. Yes.
Like little gargoyle on the roof.
That sounds good. Just get all those Owen Finnegan masks all sitting on people's fridges all these years later. And they do, you know.
I've got mine.
Okay. Alright, is that the end of our general discussion?
Oh, I know there's an article here about everyone who's going to re-sign, apparently.
Yeah, all the Brumbies who want to re-sign
apparently,
for Brumbies.
Because you decided to win a game, the Canberra Times has now told everyone that there's all these players are going to re-sign.
Yeah.
And interesting, Huey Edmonds is now going to sign up as a hooker.
Yep.
For when JP moves on.
Because we're expecting Josh Holmes.
Yes, Josh Holmes from the Waratahs. Yeah.
Well, formerly of the Reds, he was playing for the Reds, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well?
But they're going to start targeting him in about 2 weeks' time.
Frankly, I don't think we want Josh Holmes. I prefer to have Luke Burgess and Patrick Phipps.
Patrick Phipps and Luke Burgess are quite good.
Do we need a third scrum half?
Yes.
Can't we pick someone local? After those two blokes, he's not going to get much game time.
You'd think as starring a star recruit to be the third string halfback was a little silly.
He's not getting any time in the Waratahs, so they're thinking they might be able to snatch him because of that.
Yeah, I can see why they could sign him cheap. Would probably be the.
But he's a. I think they're saying no. He's an ARU capped funded player, so he gets the extra money from
funded by the ARU.
He's on a central contract.
He gets his contract topped up by the AAU to keep him in the game. Stop him going to rugby.
We don't have to top him up. The AAU tops him up anyway. Yeah. Well, he just gets paid to look pretty.
I think we're far better served finding someone locally. You know, one of the local clubs who can step up and come into it.
Well, we'll see after
third string.
I think we'll try. We'll do quite well after the APC.
Yeah, for third string scrum, especially after the APC. Yeah. ARC.
ARC, myself.
For example, Frankie could play scrum.
Oh, yeah. Frankie Benefio.
Who has not had enough game time and was not very good chasing that length of the field try.
Peter Kinless, he's a local. He had a good run on the weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
More locals.
Yeah,
well,
so we don't have to go to
Murray Fisher's local.
Yeah, great. You
don't want to be locals, you have to
make it. Yeah. All right, then, look, let's.
Let's go to the song.
Let's go to our last song, and then we'll get back with the tips. Radiate by the Lavins. Who else?
One, two, three, four.
to, so tell me you want to get closer. I will radiate with you, so tell me I'm so photogenic. I'll tell you I've dreamt of you, so tell me we dream of each other. Transcend life with your smile. Your body is my temple. Your radiance beguiles.
That was 11s with Radiates.
And the worst counting hand signals ever.
You should have seen the Boys and Girls. It was atrocious. It's not that hard. Anyway, the points for the tipping as we stand is Nico has taken the lead on 21. I forgot to announce this before. I'm sorry. Myself and John on 20. Tim's fallen behind on 19 because of his poor tipping the Waratahs. Aha. And Katina's slowly catching up on 17.
I thought they had more for me, but no. I haven't made a mistake 2 weeks in a row.
Well, some of us have, though.
Oh, well. The tips... you just made one mistake.
Right, what have we got?
Okay, first up, Chiefs v Lions and Hamilton. Lions on the road. Chiefs coming off a bye, I believe.
Yeah, dull Lions, dull lights of Cowtown.
Chiefs finally going back to home.
No, they're from
Pretoria. There's not a lot of excitement there, either.
And the Lions are proving...
No, Lions of Johannesburg. What are we saying? Bulls of Pretoria.
The Lions are proving their former Cats name quite wrong.
They didn't have four in a row until last week.
Yeah, the Lions have...
And they're in the top half of the
Lions. Lions are looking serious contender. Chiefs have been struggling. Who did I tip?
You've gone with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Nico's gone with the Lions, but he said, I know, never tip the Cats, but against the weak Chiefs,
weak Chiefs?
It's weak Chiefs at home.
Do you think the buyer's done them well and they've sort of...
regrouped?
I can't hope, because I've tipped the Chiefs.
Yeah. I think it's a close game. It's one of those ones where I don't feel any great certainty, but on balance.
I'm going to go with the Lions. Mm-hmm. And they'll come good this week after getting a flogging by the...
The Blues.
Yeah, because getting a flogging in New Zealand really helps you for next week.
Well, they say,
at least we're not playing Auckland again.
That's right. We're not playing Auckland. We can probably take some heart out of that. That'll come good.
Force versus Reds in Perth. Can it be two in a row for the Force at home?
I think if you were the Force and you just won a home game and wanted to make it two in a row, you'd the competition and you'd say, we'll have some Reds.
The Reds with 15 players out. 15!
Yeah, I love that one. They'll have some of you as well.
All they can do is target another seven. And the Reds will have
a whole squad gone.
A new whole team out there.
And they were already Queensland Sea.
They had 30,000 last weekend to watch the first game.
They'll have 40,000 this week.
Yeah, it'll be huge.
Another 10,000?
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to take the 10,000 Waratahs fan.
Yes.
They all exodus and they went over to Western Australia and they're going to get out this weekend to watch the Force game.
Interesting statistic today. Perth has... Australia has 10 billionaires on the Forbes list.
And they're all living in Perth?
Four of them live in Perth. So that gives you some idea of the amount of money.
I don't imagine too many living in Canberra.
None.
Where are the others?
Sydney.
I haven't looked. Sydney's got a couple, but the concentration. Well, most of them live on. A lot of them live on like rural estates. They don't live in any city. But Perth has four of them living in Perth.
Yes.
Rupert Murdoch. He is an American. But.
And I'm sure James Packer's probably got a Macau citizenship by now, doesn't he?
He's working on it. he's got to go over there and sort out his troubles with his casino.
Okay, Crusaders Bulls. Now, Crusaders have had to buy.
This will be a close one.
This is one of those I looked at it and I said, I've got no idea how this one's going to come out.
I mean, back in Christchurch, so normally you would tip the Crusaders.
Crusaders have had the buy, so they've had a week to recover from the South African trip where they did quite poorly.
But geez, the Bulls are on fire.
Yeah.
No play playing.
So the Bulls. Thing you want to do is come home and play the Bulls.
That's what you'd normally think.
By the Cats.
No, what I say, you don't. That's the last thing you want to play, rampaging Bulls that are winning everything.
Now, remember, was it last year where the Crusaders decided to rest some of their star players?
That was against the Stormers.
It was against the Bulls. They rested McCaw, but won in Pretoria.
Because they're thinking to themselves, we don't want Richie bloody taken out and smashed.
Oh, that's right, it was too. Yeah, it's not that this week. They're resting everybody.
Yep.
Six of them.
Do you reckon they'll learn from the? We'll see Brian Habana going behind. They have missed JP Nell, who's out for 3 weeks on the suspension for a swinging arm on Rocky Hill.
The Crusaders will be very glad to see him gone. I pick on balance the Crusaders, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Bulls.
I still reckon the Crusaders are mucking around with the bookies this year and going to squeeze into last fourth place at some stage.
Crusaders have got a bunch of very talented youngsters stepping up to fill some very big shoes, and so they're going to be variable.
Nico going with the Crusaders because he doesn't think the Bulls can keep it up and the Crusaders are rested.
Mm-hmm. I am going to go to the Crusaders, even though I think they're going to be screwing around again.
I want to tip against the grain here. I'm going to go with the Bulls.
There you go.
Right. I have no idea why.
You're looking to join Katina at the bottom of the ladder here, aren't you?
I'll have a go at it. Yeah,
well, remember, she was the person who tipped against the Crusaders. Yeah, we all thought they were going to win, and they did.
Double didn't. Points in the finals, I can tip the outsider.
Right.
And you guys are going, please don't win.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I think the Bulls have probably got reasonable chances. Probably better than they had, any time in the past.
Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. Waratah Stormers in Sydney. Can Sydney make it two in a row?
I looked at this and I said, I don't know. Waratahs have the look of a team with the wheels completely falling off. You never know when the Waratahs collapse will arrive in the season. Sometimes they hold it off until finals week.
It's usually last week.
This is quite early in the season for a Waratahs collapse.
This is early for a Waratahs comment. Waratahs are languishing way down at the bottom of the table, aren't they? They're in
second last
with the Reds.
Only with the Reds.
I think the great tragedy is Ewan McKenzie is going to get sacked and he's never going to coach the Wallabies, and I think he would have made a great Wallabies coach.
Well, we want. Let's face it, the way this year is going, Noosa Fora will be back.
As coach of the Wallabies.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see after World Cup time.
And right? George Gregan won't be there, so it'll all go well.
Well, we've got John, you've gone with the Tars.
On balance
with the Tars. Nico's gone with the balance. On balance with the Tars as well.
I've gone with the Tars.
Reasoning that the Tars have to win sometime.
Yep.
And it may as well be against the Stormers.
And at home. Those two things do very well for them.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel as well.
Well, Nico said even we beat the Stormers, so I'm assuming even the Brumbies beat the Stormers, so therefore the Tars can do it.
Yes.
I would like to think that just because the Brumbies beat the Stormers doesn't mean to say the Tars.
I think it'll be closer.
Well, it depends. Are they going to play Turanui on the wing again?
That's who they mark him up against. If you've got a slow, strong winger like your Gerrards, then Turanui will probably look quite good playing out there, but not against Brian Habana. And as we saw in the last minute of the Brumbies game, the Stormers have got some fast wingers.
Yes, they do.
He was a fullback.
I was number
14. Was it? I
saw it running away. I was standing right behind
away
him
from us.
When he
Right, I'm going to go with the Stormers, so I'm going to tip against the Crusaders.
Yeah, this is where Tim wants to pick up his points, when the Waratahs fall down and screaming heap again.
I don't think they're going to get screwed, the Stormers.
Yeah,
the Stormers are a hot and cold team this season, it seems.
God,
they're,
yes.
Do you think having been cold,
they're due a hot team against the Waratahs?
Well, they are only two places above the Waratahs, at any rate.
Yeah.
On balance, I'll tip the team further up the table, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, last game.
No,
this
it's not.
Is going to be a good one.
Not second last game, sorry. Second last. Cheetahs Brumbies.
Blomfontein.
Blomfontein.
2 o'clock Sunday morning, boys and girls, or the replay at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. I think I'll be watching the 4:30 one.
Well, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? Brumbies playing well. Cheetahs coming out of a loss, but at home, Brumbies a long flight ahead of them. Left yesterday, apparently. Ewan McKenzie, get there 24 hours before the game.
Well, Blomfontein, Canberra, similar vibe. I think they'll be all right.
It's all about the vibe of the town.
Yeah.
Is that why we lose in Cape Town?
Oh, yeah. And
all the glitz, the glamour.
Yes.
All the taxi drivers to be
up. Oh, this is not very interesting.
They were looking for it, I tell you.
Blomfontein not having any of that.
I very nearly tipped the Cheetahs. I counted the ways that I could see the Cheetahs winning. There's an awful lot to suggest to cheat this win.
It'll be a good game.
I think it'll be a great game. I think the Brumbies might just have enough class to take it away.
Interestingly, the Cheetahs have played quite clever rugby this season.
Yes, and the Brumbies have played really stupid rugby this season. So that's another thing counting for them. But I think the Gregan class might just out with Mortlock and a very good forward pack.
I've got to say, Gregan has stepped up this season.
He's playing great football.
Because everybody else seems to be playing so badly, he's had to step up.
City media's still saying, oh, we'll have Matt Giddo as halfback with George Gregan as his backup. It's like, bollocks to that. Get the best inside centre in the country playing inside centre and the best halfback playing halfback instead of lumping them badly in the one position, for God's sake.
Well, that's put Gregan on that one.
The best.
Hey, look, Greg's made some great front up tackles against the Stormers last weekend. Like, not losing, just knocked the guys over. He actually put his body on the line.
But the best inside centre inside back line combination in the country is Gregan at half, Larkin at fly half, Giddo outside him, Mortlock outside him. And there's nothing that we've seen in the rest of, in this competition so far suggesting other than that basic.
No. Giddo, you're a traitor for betraying that trust.
But he's playing well, but we don't. The last thing we want to do is screw that sort of lineup up.
Well, we're all true to the form here.
We've all gone the Brumbies.
Did I get Cheetahs?
You've gone the Cheetahs, John.
Oh, you traitor. We're going to burn you at the stake.
You're burning at the stake.
You have a go at me every week about this, and you're going down.
I just couldn't, in all conscience.
You're going to rot in hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I was saying before, it would have been so close, I got mixed up which way I'd written it.
You have gone the Cheetahs.
Okay.
Nick and Rob and myself have all gone the Brumbies. We don't actually have Katina's tips.
But they'll be coming, we're sure.
Languishing in claim.
Languishing in claim.
People are ripping her off. $1.35 a photo.
$1.35 a photo.
And they pay her petrol allowance, the petrol she burns up driving out there to take the photo.
Oh, great. Okay.
Anyway, Sharks, Hurricanes in Durban.
Sharks, Hurricanes.
Okay. Hurricanes lost.
Yeah.
Hurricanes are all over the place. They're really missing their enforcing trio, which I'll get back next week, so that'll be interesting. But
they've still got bloody a lot of good players, but they still lost to the Force.
Yes.
Nonu's out. He's not travelling.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's out for injured for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Look, it was one of those, you looked at it, I don't know, did anyone tip the Hurricanes?
You lose Nonu and you put bloody Tano Maga in the inside centre and Conrad Smith at outside.
You don't lose much, but the Sharks, with the form they've had in Durban, it would need to be the best team in the competition for me to tip against them.
And you've got, you have.
No, I have not.
You picked the Sharks. Now, Nigo's gone on the Sharks and he's got a bit of reasoning here as well. He reckons this is the only close call of the weekend. Canes can upset, and the Sharks don't seem as strong as their win-loss ratio seems to indicate, which is an interesting call.
Because they only have a win ratio.
Their win ratio.
It's unbalanced.
Unless this is what he said, he reckons that it's going to be close. But he thinks the Sharks at home are still too good.
Same. I'm going for the Sharks.
I made the mistake of... I thought I'd pick the Sharks last week, but for some reason I didn't. I'm not going to make that mistake this week. I am tipping the Sharks.
Yeah, look, there seems to be two basic rules of this season, which is always tip the Blues and always tip the Sharks.
And then don't tip the Reds.
No.
And strongly becoming, don't tip the Waratahs.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
Oh, look, here's some highlights of the Brumbies.
Well,
that's
not so good for the audience in the podcast. And on that note, I think we should thank our audience for
thank you for listening.
Thank you, Wolbarnun, for letting us record in your salubrious surrounds.
Even with the BattleBots and the hobos.
Just adds to the excitement. That's
and hobos
that's
with Star Pickets.
maybe it's hobos with Star Pickets fighting BattleBots.
If you were here as an audience, you too would see this. Contact Rugby at the Rite Aid for details.
Yes, we do take a studio audience. Last time we had one, it all blew up, but hopefully that won't happen again. Good night.